I gotta say, this is one of my favorite texts. It is a challenging text. I'd like to invite you to turn to John 6. I'm going to share John 6, 41 through 51. It really is a whole chapter that is rich with images and with content and with a need for us to pay attention to it. It's Jesus' teaching about the gift of himself, the gift of himself as literally a sacrifice lamb. And that's an Old Testament image. If you don't know that, if you remember reading some in the Old Testament, people of faith thought that they had to sacrifice some animal alive, you know, some live animal, and that was a way of appeasing God and ensuring God's grace and forgiveness. As we read the Old Testament, it seems to appear that God commands this and gives the formulas for it. And we know that these traditions evolved over centuries, and that those words were, by the time they were established in Scripture, they were words that had been long handed down through the generations and were well established already before they became Scripture. I think Jesus is not discounting any of that, but he is changing it. And he is, in this very early part of the Gospel of John, John 6 out of 21 chapters, Jesus is already trying to teach people that this is why he came. This is why he came, to be the ultimate gift of sacrifice, in order that sins might be forgiven and that grace might be realized. If you're not familiar with these texts in the Old Testament and then this in the New Testament, it seems rather vicious to believe that blood had to be shed in order for forgiveness to be made available. That's kind of hard. And that's a real stumbling block for some modern people to understand the Scriptures and to understand God's grace. It's hard for us sometimes. If we really stop and think about it. And when we read John 6, we're stopping and thinking about it. And it's, as I said, a very early part of the Gospel of John. And Jesus is laying it all out there. He is saying some things that are consistent with the things that eventually raised the ire of the Jews, of the people of the old guard, enough that it ended up costing his very life. When we share at this table, we talk about the blood of Christ. That's really, for someone just walking into this room for the first time, maybe not been a person of faith for a long time or ever, that's hard to get, isn't it? If you stop and think about it, we say the blood of Christ shed for you. We're drinking the blood of Christ. What we have here is a sign and a symbol of the blood of Christ. But if any of you grew up in Catholic tradition, and I'm sure some of you did, you may remember or you may be aware that in the ancient church tradition, they really believed that the prayers over this wine or grape juice, fruit of the vine, the prayers actually did transform. In those prayers, God transformed the elements of wine and bread into flesh and blood. That's for centuries been the tradition and the understanding of the Catholic faith. Now, it's easy to say, well, we don't really hold on to that. And of course, we don't. In the physical sense, but in the spiritual sense, yes. I would never say to you, oh, that's just a bunch of story and it doesn't really happen, because I believe that it does happen, that somehow the Spirit of God indwells these gifts. Just as the same Spirit of God indwells your breath and your life and your living. And that grace, that God within us that breathes literally Holy Spirit in and out of our lungs and our breath, those things are holy. And so when we come to the table and someone says to you the words, this is the body of Christ broken for you, it is. It is Jesus' very life. All of this enactment remembers and celebrates the fact that Jesus really did give his life, his body, his sacrifice for you and me. But on this occasion, Jesus has sat down on a hillside in this text. John 6 begins with the feeding of the 5,000, and you know that story, and you know that it's present in the Gospels multiple times, sometimes a couple of times in the same book. Those who have been or those who are about to go to the Holy Land will see places along the side of the Sea of Galilee where there are grassy hillsides, and it's very dramatic to see that and to be there and to imagine that that may have been the place where Jesus and the disciples sat down and Jesus taught the crowds. You know, one occasion he got out into a boat on the Sea of Galilee and used the acoustics of the water to be able to be heard by all of those people on the hillside. You know how when you hear somebody speaking out in a boat, you can hear exactly what they're saying. Jesus taught them. Jesus loved the people and he taught them. And on this occasion, they were hungry. And so he took out loaves and fish that one of the disciples had found in someone's basket in the crowd. And Jesus blessed those fragments of food and served the entire crowd and had way more left over than he did when he started. But while those people were still gathered wanting more, probably wanting more food, but wanting more of Jesus, Jesus and his disciples went down toward the sea, got into a boat, and started out across the sea to Capernaum. And the wind was blowing, and you know some of this story. Jesus walked on the water and helped Peter to walk on the water too. But the next day, the crowd was still on the other side, waiting, hoping Jesus would come back. And so this story kind of strings some events along, but they go back to the place where the crowd was, and Jesus teaches them more. Jesus begins to say some really, really hard things. In verse 35, which is still before what I read for you. Did I read it? I didn't read it. Well, we'll get there, okay? This is still before. I'm setting up what I'm going to read for you. Sometimes with two services, I forget which one I've done. But this one, in verse 35, he says to the crowd, now I am the bread of life. That's beginning to be this sacramental language of I am food. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And so he is beginning to talk in this sacramental language of I am food for you. Food is important, isn't it? And in fact, we can't live long without it. So it is important. And people begin to kind of get uncomfortable with this language. Let me read the text now. I'll read 41 through 51. This is John 6. Again, early in the Gospel of John. John 6, 41 through 51. Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" And Jesus answered them, "Don't complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me. And I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life." Here it comes now. "I," Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, that so that one may eat of it and not die. I am living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Now, that's the end of the reading for today. But that's just the beginning of the controversy, because Jesus has said something alarming to them. "The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." And in the following verses, as you finish out reading John, the sixth chapter, Jesus gets more and more graphic about eating the flesh of the Son of Man and drinking his blood. "Unless you do this, you have no life in you. For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink." It gets harder and harder to hear. And it gets to the point where the crowd begins to dwindle. They begin to drift off. They've had enough. And it's easy to understand that, because it's alarming to hear this talk, and it gets more and more graphic as it goes along. Jesus says, "Does this offend you?" Like he doesn't understand why it would. But people are leaving right and left, and it's beginning to look like the crowd has through with Jesus. Verse 66 says, because of this, many of his disciples, that would be the crowd, not just his 12 apostles, many of his disciples, those who had been following him around, turned back and no longer went about with him. And so Jesus turns to the 12, to his closest followers, the ones we call Jesus' disciples, and says, "Do you also wish to go away?" I think Jesus is sad. He is alarmed. He knows what's coming. He's trying to begin the process of explaining it, but he knows what he's here for. And it saddens him that people are not staying to listen. So he says, even to his 12, those who have been personally called by him, "Do you also wish to go away?" And Simon Peter, for once, has the answer that Jesus wanted to hear. Sometimes Peter responds by pushing back. Here he says, "Lord, to whom could we go? For you have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." Jesus is speaking of himself. He's being mystical. He's laying it all on the line, though. And as he stretches the comfort zones, his hearers want to stop hearing him. And I invite you to think, where do you land today as one of Jesus' hearers? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is at best temporary and at worst useless. Jesus says the one who eats this bread will live forever, and he doesn't know if even his disciples will buy it or even understand it. Because of this teaching, many turned away. But let us with Peter affirm that we have nowhere else to go for grace. We have nowhere else to go for the hope that Jesus offers. And let us say with Peter, Lord, you have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. So, as we come to the table this morning, you're invited to sit down on the green grass on the hillside by the Sea of Galilee to hear his words, his teaching, and to take in the bread that is offered. You're invited to receive his life into your life as a gift, to be lifted by his Spirit into new paths and into a new willingness to share your life, to share his life with others. We come not just to eat bread at this table, not just to eat bread in the ways that we do to nourish our bodies, but we come to eat bread for our souls. Jesus gave his life for us that we might live. What will you do with Jesus?